Now, today in America, it's considered a really big day. How many of you know that? In fact, it's the reason that I'm wearing this jersey, and I see some of you are wearing jerseys. It's now so big, this day is considered, get this, a national holiday. How many of you know that? Yeah, it is. It's in America, it is considered a national holiday. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Super Bowl Sunday. Now, get this. It is estimated that 100 million people will view the Super Bowl today. Now, that's a lot of folks. How many of you know that? In other words, this is a really, really, really big event. So what I want to do today, I want to preach a sermon to you entitled, You Gotta Have Team. You may want to turn to somebody and say that. You got to have team. Now, I want you to listen to me today. Every year when football season begins, and I realize that some of you are not football fans, but listen, just listen to the principles today because they work. When football season begins, any team worth its salt has one goal in mind. And here is that goal. It is to win the Super Bowl. But I tell you something, it takes team to do this. In fact, there is a team that I would say is about 100 miles west of where I'm standing. For all of you who are directionally challenged, that is that direction. Now, I didn't name any names, nothing mentioned here, but I'm sure some of you have heard by now. Don't get mad. I thought, this is kind of a dangerous sermon. We could probably have a throwdown and have a fight in church today with all the different teams represented here. But I'm sure you've heard by now, this team that I did not mention will not be playing in the big game. Yeah, exactly. And I can tell some of you are still in denial because they are well represented here. And one in particular player for sure is well represented here. Go figure. However, there will be two teams from the NFL that will be playing in their brand new state-of-the-art billion-dollar stadium. Their record, this team that I haven't mentioned, had a record this year of 6-10. How many of you know that is considered a losing season? What was the problem? Well, it certainly wasn't a lack of talent, I can tell you that. Why would a team, get this, that is slated to win the Super Bowl in their season with a losing record? I'll tell you why. And it doesn't take a really highly intelligent person to know this. They didn't have team. They had a lot of individuals and egos that stood in the way. If you are going to be a winner, if you want to go to the Super Bowl, if you want to go to the Super Bowl of life, let me tell you, you've got to have team. How many of you know in the word team, there is no I? If you're going to win, if churches are going to win, the I is going to have to be taken out of the equation. Listen to me now. All teams that have anything going for them and have any passion and desire want to go and they want to win that Super Bowl. Now, listen to me. The church is no different. Please hear me. Do not over-spiritualize church life. It's no different than a team that wants to go to the Super Bowl. You see, some churches are winning churches, and some churches are losing churches. Now what, and I want you to listen to me, if you were up late last night, whatever, you had to work, whatever, thank God you're here. If you don't hear anything else I've got to say today, I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear what I believe constitutes a win from our owner's perspective. How many of you know the church has an owner? His name is God. And He's told us what a win is. And if we want to get in line with that, the coaches and everybody and all the team players have to get in line with that. Let me tell you what constitutes a win in the church. It's called lost souls being saved. I said, it's lost souls being saved. Now, any church that is content when souls are not being saved, let me come on now. This is pick it up day. has a losing mentality. Any church across America or around the globe that feels like there is another primary agenda than winning souls, I'm telling you, somewhere along the way, we bought into a loser's mentality. Are you okay with souls not being saved? No, I hope not. Are you okay with people not being baptized and discipled? What did Jesus say? He said the winning team is on the go. He says the winning team is going out into the world and not sitting around having prayer meetings praying, Lord, bring them in. We're going to have to change our mentality. Are you okay with it? I hope not. What I want to do today is I want to share five ingredients needed to be a winning church. And by the way, have you noticed? Everybody wants to be a part of a winning team or church. Man, if something starts happening in a church, guess what? Everybody wants to be a part of it. Everybody wants to be associated with the winner. Let me tell you, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will dump a football team very quickly who's not winning. It's confession time. Here's the first ingredient you need to have if you're going to go to the Super Bowl or if you're going to win. You must have a coach who has a vision for the team and a plan to implement the vision. Folks, it's not just enough to have a vision. You got to have a plan to implement it. And I want you to hear my heart, because what I'm about to say to you folks is not a statement of arrogance. It is something that is truly from my heart. Rather, it is a statement of confidence. I have a vision for this church. In fact, I believe I have a vision for the church, and I have a plan for fulfilling it, and I happen to believe that it is rooted in the Bible. I think all visions and all plans for the church ought to be rooted in the Bible. Can I hear a great big amen today? And I want to tell you something. That vision did not come without a price. It was born in the heat of adversity. And let me just go ahead and tell you, any vision worth owning, the only vision worth owning is one that is born in the heat of adversity. Because when it is birthed in the heat of adversity, what it does, it purges away all the things that don't need to be there, and it brings forth the pure vision and the plan of God. Here's the vision. I said, here's the vision. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you don't listen very carefully, it is so simple, you'll miss it. Here it is. It's called and it's described in four words. It's about loving God, and it's about loving people. You want to know when people ask what Church on the Rock is all about or what our vision is? Tell them, we're about loving God, and we're about loving people. Now, let me explain that. Let me tell you something I've learned now after many, many years of ministry, going through things, trying things, and doing things. If we do not teach people how to love God, if we do not lead them into a relationship with God, those who are willing, not everybody's willing that says they are, not everybody that walks an aisle really wants to love God, but those who are willing, and there are plenty who are willing, we need to first teach them how to love God. And the only way we can teach them how to love God is if we know how to love God. We try to talk about loving God, and we don't know how to love God. Guess what? We've got a problem. But then that relationship, that wholeness that is produced out of loving God, then translates into loving people. Folks, you want to sum up the gospel? You want to sum up why Jesus came? It was about loving His Father, and it was about laying down His life for people. It was about loving people. Loving God and loving people. Turn to somebody and say that. That's the vision here. I want you to listen to me today. Everything we do, Church on the Rock, everything we do should be filtered through those four powerful words. Did you hear me, small group leader? Did you hear me, children's pastors? Did you hear me, student ministers? Did you hear me, worship team? Everything we do should be thought about and filtered through these four words. Is this going to cause people to love God, or is this my own thing? Is this going to cause people to grow in God and then eventually learn how to love people? Or am I just doing my own thing? Am I a star? Am I wanting to climb some ladder? What am I doing? Am I teaching people to love God and to love people? See, every member of the team should be able to tell you what the vision for the team is. If they cannot, it is too complicated. And by the way, folks, most people in churches today cannot tell you what the vision of their church is because it is so complicated. Let me tell you something, folks. We have made church life so complicated and so boring and so works-oriented, we don't know what the vision is. Ask most people, what's the vision of your church? If they go to a good church, if they go to a church that has a vision, and that vision has been birthed out of adversity, they can tell you what it is. Let me say it again. Here, it's about loving God and it's about loving people. That's the vision. And every member should know what it is. And as I've said, it must not be complicated. It must be simple and it must be clear. Can I say it one more time? It's about loving God and it's about loving people, both family members, listen to me, and non-family members. Yes, those people that you live with every day who don't serve God. Those people that you work with, that some of you are praying to be free from, that's the people God wants you to love into the kingdom. Oh, really? Oh, me? Oh, my? Oh! Instead of a woo-hoo, that one from some of your life needs to be a whoa. Whoa, preacher. Yeah, I'm right on that one. Now, let me tell you how we need to implement the vision. Now, folks, this is not the goosebump part of the stage. It's when you have done what the playbook says, and then you get to hold up the trophy one day, and everybody's all excited, wants to go buy your jersey, wants to go to your game, and wants to holler for you. You got to have that stage where you learn what it is you do, then you start carrying out, and then one day you get to hold up the trophy. We're champions, and everybody loves the champions. Everybody's excited. Did you see? Did you hear? Woo! Here's the playbook. Number one, we come together for our team meetings in our weekend services. If I'm the coach and I call a team meeting, or better than that, the owner has called a team meeting, guess what? You and I are supposed to be at the team meeting to hear the plan. But see, that's not the gospel that's preached anymore. It's if I want to go to church. It's if I want to show up. Let me tell you what happened to a few smart aleck, arrogant football players that were making millions this year that decided they weren't going to come to the meeting. They had the eye syndrome. Well, let me tell you, some of them got released from their teams. Some of them are sitting at home now, and they're going to be eating Fritos and drinking a Pepsi and angry because they're not there when they know they could have been there. The problem was one, they didn't show up for the meetings. They didn't show up. They didn't have the respect or the courtesy to show up. And I'm speaking to people all over this country and world. Now, I feel the fire of God in me today, and I don't want to burn you up with it, but I want to tell you, the respect for God's coaches and God's leaders, you need to make a decision. You're going to start respecting that. Because I learned a long time ago, when you reject the coach, you don't reject the coach, you reject the owner that put the coach in place. Some of you need to, come on now. I'm not trying to burn you today, not trying to make you regret you even came to church, but let me tell you something. You need to start respecting the coach. And when the coach calls a meeting, we call meetings around here every Sunday. Hello, that's the team meeting. This new gospel that is not of God and that's being preached and people not feeling fire and feeling the heat of God because they're kind of doing their own thing is not the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. Doing kingdom business is a full contact sport. I mean, the devil is in this thing for the real. Our opponent is in this thing for keeps. And we're kind of, que sera, sera. Hello. Yeah, I'm passionate today. I'm passionate today. I'm burning inside. I'm like Jeremiah. I'm ready to win. You see, when you call the team meetings, all the team members need to be present. You know, I used to get these comments when I would say this. They would come in the form of this: Pastor, Don't you understand? I might get a little angry over this one. Don't you understand that there are emergency personnel and nurses and other people that have to work on Sunday? No. I just fell off the tater wagon yesterday. Spare me. Pastor, do you expect, I've never had this one, do you expect people who have just had surgery or a baby the week before to be at church? Maybe. Hey, let me tell you, the guy on the stretcher got healed. He came to church sick. That's another sermon in and of itself. I expect you, unless there's an emergency. What about vacation? I take vacations all the time. I love them. But I don't take one every other weekend either. I set aside some time during the year. I put some green back for it if I can, and I usually can because I make it a priority. I need an escape. I need a break. I'm understanding of all these things. But what I'm not understanding today is this new philosophy. Hey, I don't have to come to the team meetings. Let me tell you what you're saying, sir. You're saying you're more important than the team. And you are saying what Paul said, don't say. I don't need the hand and I don't need the foot. In other words, you don't need anybody else to function. Man, I'm telling you, we have missed it. And then secondly, during the week, some of you are okay with that. You gave me some amens. You won't like this one. During the week, you meet with your prospective team within the team. In other words, you have a huddle or a small group, and you talk about what you're going to do to fulfill your part of the vision for the overall team. It's called specialty teams. Show me that in the Bible, preacher. Glad to. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 says, in every day, listen. This was a daily thing with the church that we're to be modeling our lives after. This was a daily thing for Jesus and His disciples. And all throughout the history of Acts, the playbook says, and daily, every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message, Jesus the Messiah. What are we supposed to be teaching and preaching when we get together? How to feel good? How to make a fortune? No, we're to be preaching the Messiah and His saving power. We're to be putting some heat on people who are not walking with God. We're to be getting together after we hear from the coach and we hear the plan. We're to get together and we're to see how we as a small group or a specialty team can get together and do something for the kingdom. Some of you are saying, dear God, if I'd have prayed through a little more, I would not have been here this morning. You would have missed the team meeting. There's some other things I could say about this gospel, folks, that there's not time to say. I might get fired up again a little later and I might say them. We need to understand what's going on here. You see, every team has an offensive team. It has a defensive team. It has a punting team, a kickoff team, a kickoff return team, a field goal team. Even has water personnel. You think the Gatorade boys are not important? You think the towel guys are not important? Oh, I'm telling you, they are important. You see, there's the overall team, and then there's the team within the team. The second ingredient that you must have if you're going to be a winning team, if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, if you're going to be a winning church, you must have assistant coaches. I want to qualify that. They have to be dedicated to the vision and to the plan. Now, there's a lot of assistant coaches on teams, and they're there for one reason only, and that is to draw a salary. That's why they're there. They're not there because they want to see the vision and the plan fulfilled. They just want a salary. You know, that's the new thing when you start working with somebody now. And I don't blame people. I really don't. I explain it to them. It's not wrong to ask. But let me tell you, if the first thing you want to know is how much you're going to get paid to work in the church, you have disqualified yourself. I want to find out if you can carry out your first little assignment. Because he who is not faithful in a little thing will not be faithful when he is on staff and when he is making a salary. I'm sorry. I learned that one the hard way. I know what I am talking about. You've got to have assistant coaches, no doubt about it. But you got to have folks who understand the plan and the vision, and they are dedicated to it. Well, some of you can't say amen on that one, but I can. Amen, 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 amen. My amen's enough on that one. See, you got to have team. You got to have offensive coaches. You got to have defensive coaches. You got to have specialty teams. You got to have a strength and conditioning coaches. You got to have the kicking coaches. How many of you know, even on a team, you got to have the guy. I mean, all he may do is during the game. He may only do it one, but it may win the Super Bowl. All he's got to be able to do is catch a ball and do his little finger like this. He's on the kickoff team. But I'm going to tell you, the holder for the field goal team is just as important as everybody else. You got to have team, folks. In the church, you got to have elder coaches. In the church, you got to have deacon coaches. By the way, don't come and tell me you're an elder till you've been a greeter, till you've served on the hospitality team, till you've started serving water to the different team members. Don't tell me you're an elder. There's a lot of responsibility and heat comes with being an elder. Got to have deacon coaches. Y'all don't have to get so quiet right now. You got to have student coaches. You got to have children's coaches. I'm talking about winning today. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about what makes the difference in a winning church and a losing church. That's what I'm doing. You got to have all these folks. You got to have hospitality coaches. You got to have marriage coaches. You got to have finance coaches. If you do not have a coach or an assistant coach who is dedicated to the vision and the plan over these special teams, you know what you get? You get disorder and you get chaos. You get internal fighting and arguing. And guess what? The ultimate thing is you've lost sight of the goal. You will not win. You certainly will not stumble into the Super Bowl and say, "Woohoo! We are here." You will not win souls for the kingdom of God by just saying, "Lord, bring them in and come in and give a little praise and a little hand clap and a little of this." I mean, you just won't win. I love you, Church on the Rock. See, some of you are called to be coaches over a team, a small group team, a specialty team. And thank God for every one of you who do it. I think, listen to me, we got the finest assistant coaches that we've ever had in our history. Hallelujah. We ought to give them praise. See, we've got to get rid of this loser's mentality that when someone comes and says, "I want you to think about being an elder or whatever it may be," and quit saying, "No, I'm not going to do that. No, not me. Me? No way. Loser." Now let me be nice. What you're really saying is, "I don't think I can do this." You can in your own strength. Thank God the church has empowerment from the Holy Spirit and we'll train you and we'll teach you. But stop saying, "I can't do it." That "can't do" attitude, it's really nothing more than I'm satisfied with the losing. My God, I get sick of losing. The church in America needs to get sick of losing. Oh, some of you don't like this because you kind of like that mentality. Makes you feel good. You've been nurturing this attitude all your life. Get over it. Get healed. Get on the team. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this because I'll probably get to preaching and probably forget all about this. You know what? There's probably a better place to mention that. I'll do that in just a moment. Here's the third ingredient. Y'all tell me. Don't forget it. So you got to have a team who is committed to the vision and the plan. It is not enough to have a head coach that's got the vision and the dream and the plan to carry it out. It's not enough to have assistant coaches that'll help you. You've got to have a team. Now, wouldn't that look foolish if everybody showed up with "coach" written on their thing and there wasn't a team out there and you're just kind of throwing your red flags and doing all this stuff and walking up and down the sideline hollering at the umpires and the referees and because of the missed calls, and they're saying, "Dude, get a team. We're blowing the whistle because you don't have your team out here." Oh, no team. Let me tell you something, folks. And I blame preachers for this. We have nurtured a coach can do it all mentality in the church. And I'm going to tell you, it's costing us. It's costing. You're looking at one coach. This is going to sound rough. It's going to sound mean. It's going to sound harsh. But it's not. I did it to save my life. I am not going to do what God has called you to do. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Ephesians 4:11 describes my job description. I am to equip you. I am to fire you up. I am to tell you what the plan is, and you're supposed to carry it out. Does God have a bench? Does God have a bench on His team? Oh, yes, He does. I tell you, if it wasn't for these cameras, I'd be down there preaching about the bench. I'd be walking on the bench. God has a bench, but the bench is for the rookies. It's for the newcomers. And you know what the rookies are supposed to be doing? They are supposed to be watching the man or the woman who is doing their position that they're going to fulfill if they get hurt or whenever they retire and go out of the game. They need a model to look at. Can people look at you who are sitting on the bench and say, that's what I want to be, and that's how you fulfill it, and that's how you do it? Yeah, God's got a bench. And I hesitate to say this, but I'll probably preach it out anyway so you won't get too excited about it. The bench is for people who are really hurt and cannot function on the team. Some of you are saying, that's my problem. For 30 years? You know what they do with team players after about 30 years who never perform, don't show up for the team? They release them out into the wild blue yonder with no salary, no money, no benefits. 30 years. No, it's just been 10, Pastor. I'm just, come on, come on, come on, come on, church. Where's the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? He said, won't He quicken your mortal body? Come on, come on. I'll probably regret most of this when I get home. Some of you do not want to be healed. And I'll tell you why you don't want to be healed. Because that's how you've learned to get attention. That's how you've learned to get through life. I'm sorry, it's not the way to get through life. It'll make you sad. It'll make you depressed. It'll make you not want to come and hear this kind of preaching. I'm just going to find me another church. I love every one of you, and I'm glad you're here, but people who don't contribute, I'm sorry. Well, I better not say it because I'll be one of the only few saying it. You're just not contributing much. I don't care what those preachers say. They don't miss you when you leave. I'm so sorry. Man, you're just taking up air. Yeah, the Lord said, if you keep preaching along these lines, I heard Him just say, yeah, you're going to have some regrets here. You better move on, preacher. Third ingredient, you've got to have a team who is committed to the vision and the plan. And it's not enough to have coaches. Folks, I have reached the age I can't be the coach and the wide receiver and the rear running back. Let me tell you, I know some of you don't know this, and it may not mean anything. Thousands of preachers every year who I believe are called are quitting the ministry. That doesn't mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people because of our cynical attitude toward leaders and coaches in America. But let me tell you, where you don't have coaches with a vision and a dream, let me tell you what that says. There's going to be chaos, and there's not going to be any win, and everybody's going to kind of be doing their own thing. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 22. I think it'd be better if I just read it. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, and folks, we do this by our actions. I don't care, sir, ma'am, what your words are. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not the hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an eye, how would you smell anything? Can you see how vital and how important every member is? Come on, preacher. Don't you understand what's going on in the world? Don't you understand the demands on my life? I sure do understand. And God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you put it before everything else, He will give you everything you need and more. That's what I understand, and that's what I have experienced. When I owned a business, no mercy here. That's what God's getting mad and go find another church. Well, one day this is going to catch on in every church in America and around the world. And I recommend you not run if God says stay planted. Ooh, you're talking about a miserable life. Then you've really got to fake it. Then you've got to really be religious the rest of your days. And that's not good. I could preach 10 sermons today. Verse 18 says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Some of you are running around, you're the arm or you're the hand. You're just kind of out there by yourself. How strange! How strange that you think you can do this thing on your own. Woo! No, you can't. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I do not need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most important. You see, when we read this, every member of the team is vital to the win. You are vital. And though I'm being pretty tough on us today, folks, you are vital, every one of you. And some of you are hearing voices. You truly believe that you have nothing to contribute. You've listened to our opponent. Our opponent says that you are worthless, says that you are a loser. And because you didn't have a good father role, you can never measure or this or that, or you don't have more money, or you're not better looking, or you don't have the right job, you don't drive the right cars, or live in the right neighborhood. That is coming from the opponent who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God says every member of the team is vital. None are less important. They're all vital to the win. Can we say amen? Amen? There's a saying, and it is true, friends. You are only as strong as your weakest link. If a chain has a weakness in it, doesn't matter how strong the other parts of the chain are, if we choose not to be a link that we can be through the power of the Spirit, when pressure comes, we break, and the whole system breaks down. Those voices that are telling you that you're not a part of the team, or that you don't have to be a part of the team, that there's some special place for you, I'm telling you, it is coming from the opposition. It's coming from the devil, who is the deceiver. Pastor, how can I get on the team? It's really not that hard when you want to get on the team. I promise you. Go to a new church, and in 1 week they'll be begging you to get on the team. They don't care what your background is. They don't care if you've split and divided 4 churches. Just come be on the team. If you think you can't get on a team or it's hard, hello, everybody. None of you know what I'm talking about. See, everybody's vital to the win. What do? Now listen, this sounds so simple, but it's true. You pray. Jesus, what do you want me to do on the team? He'll tell you, because the Bible says His sheep hear His voice. And then what do? You obey. You obey. You go to the assistant coach and say, I believe God's told me to be the tight end, and I want to be a tight end. And that coach, he will first say, well, let's try you out on a few plays. Now, the coach will be able to recognize if you've got what it takes to be a tight end. If the coach recognizes that you are not a tight end, but that you've got passion and you've got desire, he may say, I see a better gift in you. You'd be better at the quarterback. Some of you say, oh, yeah, that's the preacher. I'd like to be that. Some of you, he might say, no, you're the kicker. Whatever. We've got to be mature enough that when we come and say, I have been told by Almighty God I am an elder. If the coach says, well, maybe a few years down the road. But if you ain't never been on the field, pardon my language, you're probably not ready to be an elder. Got to learn something about the team to be able to coach it. Hello. Folks, you got to have team members that are dedicated to the vision and the plan. The fourth ingredient, And I'm only going to take a couple of minutes on this one, if that long, at this point in time. You have to have resources. You have to have resources. Tithes and offerings. Nope. I'm mad. I'm leaving. You're probably not a contributor anyway. That's the reason some of you leave other churches. They talk too much about money up there. Well, the team owner told me to talk about money. The team owner tells me that it is the way to get blessed. The team owner told me and tells all of us that if we'll give tithes, and don't you stop with those tithes, if you'll give offerings too, he will open the windows of heaven. Don't you stop with that tithe. You're just paying back to God what's God's. The offerings is where you start coming in to the blessing. He said he will open, plural, the windows. You got to have resources if you're going to do the work of the Lord today. Amen. And number five, this is my last point. Let me tell you what will take a team. They may not have the best talent. Raw passion. You see, passion, it is said that passion is the ingredient for victory. That's what passion is. Let me tell you, you can have all these other ingredients, but folks, if everybody's like, okay, I'm on the team, I'm a coach, and okay, y'all go out there and play. Is it too hot to exercise today? Okay, don't worry. Go into the air-conditioned locker room. It's 72 in there and get you some water. Don't worry, honey. You've been at it 20 years, but I know you hadn't crossed over yet. And that coach is walking away and saying, that's a loser. That's a loser. Oh, some of you don't like that. Our daughter, Catherine, let me just tell you, we love all of our children. You know, I thought Joshua was going to be the big athlete of the family. Well, I've been disappointed in that area. You know, the firstborn, bless God, listen to me, daddies. That firstborn may not have your gene pool. They just may not. I was blessed to be an athlete. And my oldest son, he'd love this. He'd sit here and he'd laugh with us right now. He did not have, all he wanted to do on the team was socialize. And I'll never forget, I knew we had a problem about the second game of the season. We went and bought a brand new camera. We're videoing little Joshua. He's running down the field. All of a sudden, what's the boy ran into? He was a rather big fella. He weighed about 300 pounds. And I'm sitting here filming this. All of a sudden, Joshua stops running. He's down on the ground. He's run into one of his own teammates who weighs about 300 pounds. He's out for the count. He's been socializing, and he hadn't been running the plays. He didn't know what the heck he's doing. He's down. I said, honey, we've got a problem. This boy, I went into a state of depression for a while. Then our second son came on, Stephen. Now, I'm going to tell you, natural athlete, Stephen, just natural. Doesn't matter what sport he played, if he wanted to, he was going to win at that sport. But then our precious little daughter, we call her our tweener. She's kind of in between Joshua and Stephen. The one thing that Catherine had going for her was raw passion. When that girl got on a field, or she got on a basketball floor, or what court, whatever you call it, that girl had passion. And it was raw passion. She's not that talented athletically. She would get on teams that she did not deserve to be on strictly because of raw passion. A coach like, give me some passion. I can train them if I can get some passion. Catherine had passion. And not only did she, so did her other teammates. They made it all the way to state. They didn't win the state championship game, but they made it all the way to state in volleyball strictly because of raw passion. You know, I think sometimes that's all God really wants from us. Raw passion. Folks, I have strong feelings for this church. That's what passion is, a strong emotional feeling. Can you tell that? I have strong feelings, and I believe you do too. I have a strong desire to see souls won. It depresses me when souls are not being won, when people are not being baptized, when people are not being a disciple. It makes me feel like a loser. Because I know what God has said a win is, and it's reaching souls. And it's reaching. Why do you think I've become so passionate about reaching out through these cameras? Listen, folks, let me tell you, Church on the Rock has a radio broadcast that reaches all over this region and area. I talked to a gentleman in Tyler, Texas on Thursday who said, "Oh, are you the church? I heard you on the radio." I am passionate about reaching people. And I know you are too. But we got to decide something. Now's when you decide it. Not at the end of the season, but rather at the beginning of the season. Right now, coaches that have a vision and a plan, they're not going to watch the Super Bowl. They're going to be strategizing about how they can win the Super Bowl. To heck with those boys that are there now. They want to be there next year. I think all we have to do is decide that we want to win the Super Bowl and we want to do something extraordinary for God. I want to go to the Super Bowl. And I want to, all over this world, I want to be able to hold up a trophy on game day and say, "Look what God has done. Look what God has done." I believe that's in your heart too. And so I'm wanting to stir you up. Folks, let me just say it again. You've got to have a coach who has a vision and a plan. I've laid the plan out. It's very simple. See, if we're works-oriented, simple plans bother us. Tell me how to do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hey, let me tell you, that's where the passion comes in. See, simple bothers some people because they're works-oriented. We have 10 meetings a week, then we're having church. Nobody may be getting saved, nobody getting discipled, but we're having church, bless God. It's about loving God and it's about loving people. You've got to have assistant coaches who are dedicated to the plan and the vision. You've got to have team members who are dedicated to the plan and the vision. And you have to have resources. And finally, number five, this ingredient of passion has to be a part of what we're doing. Now, folks, I said this earlier, but I want to say it again. The kingdom of God is not a spectator sport. It is a full contact sport. I'm sorry if no one told you that when you came into the kingdom of God. It is not a spectator sport. And I will close by saying this. Some of you know that we just finished 21 days of seeking the Lord. I cannot describe to you fully what I believe I have seen in my spirit, and it didn't happen during the fast, it happened before the fast. I believe in the mind of our owner who owns us and who has bought us with a price has a vision so grand and glorious for us it would astound us. But I want to tell you, it's going to take all these ingredients and probably more to see that vision fulfilled. Some of you say, "What is it, Pastor? I want to hear it." No, I want you to hear the playbook. Because I'm telling you, if I tell you what I saw, some of you will go, "Ah, he just pipe dreaming, just pipe dreaming." I saw God raise up this church. And I'm telling you, it's conditional. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most predominant churches in the nation. See, what did I tell you? Somebody, "Oh, yeah, right. Doubter. Loser." Don't be a loser. Be a winner. I have not been able to describe what I feel like I saw in my spirit. I couldn't do it justice to describe it. But I can tell you, I know it's in the mind of God. I'm learning many of these things that we see or in the mind of God, in the heart of God, and we kind of, "Oh, pfft, that could never happen. That's quitman." It's exactly what God likes to do. take a little out of nowhere place and do something marvelous so the world will say, what? Quit what? Quit man. That's what God likes to do. But you know what? As you're standing, you gotta have team. You gotta have team. Let's give God a praise this morning. I want to pray for you this morning, and just I'm gonna leave this in the hands of God. You know, God, the Holy Spirit can help each of us understand what it is He wants us to do. And again, I really don't like doing this, but I want people to know how much I appreciate them. Everything we do per capita, we always have far more people involved in doing things than I hear from some of my brethren. I'm telling you, this is getting real close to the reality. During these 21 days, we had at least, I believe, from what I've been able to hear, about 80% of this congregation participated in the 21-day fast in some way or another. Don't beat yourself up if you didn't this year. Just plan on doing it next year with us. You know, the national average for the best churches in America of people and members participating in advancing their church going forward. I mean, if you are a superstar, charismatic preacher that can motivate people, is 40%. 40%. Most churches got about 10% doing the work. You know what Church on the Rock usually has? 60, 70. I wouldn't be surprised if not about 80% of the people doing something in this church to advance this church. God is going to honor that. Amen? So I just want to pray. It's one of those messages. How do you end this? Well, you just let God end it. You worship a little bit, and then you go chew on this one a little while. And I found if God speaks to me, the sooner I do it, the better. If I do it, hey, if God tells me to do something, do it. You don't have to come to the head coach. Go to the assistant coaches. Some of you called into the area of technology in our church, then you go talk to some of the coaches there. Some of you feel like God's speaking to you, go back there and help Barbara, who's been there for years. You may think just projecting these things on the screen and getting the words ready for worship's no small task. I'm telling you, it's a huge task. It's a huge task. You don't know what all is involved there. It's a lot. Or doing a small group, it takes a sacrifice. And we will coach you and we will train you. And we'll give you on-the-job training. Amen. I've said enough. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, well, I see in my heart there's so much more for each of us as individuals. Lord, you said to Haggai the prophet, when the altar was being rebuilt and the temple needed to be rebuilt, Lord, you said, is it right for you to sit in your paneled, luxurious homes while the house of God stands in ruin? Lord, we're blessed people. And granted, some need a greater blessing and they need greater things in their life. But Lord, you also said, if we put your house first, everything we need will be added unto us. We give you praise and we give you honor. Father, we will tell you that we want to build a great house for you. That we want to see great things done. I pray, touch every one of our hearts. Lord, wouldn't it be a miracle to say that 100% is on the field and active and playing in the very near future? Lord, we pray. Come on, are you praying with me right now? Because I don't want you to just be listening. I want you to activate your heart with me. Father, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done right here in this congregation and Lord, right here in this community. Lord, as Isaiah said, here we are, Lord. use us. Use us for your glory. Father, we want to bring honor to your name. We don't want to bring shame to your name. We want to bring honor to your name. Father, teach us now what it means to be winners again. Teach us what it means to win. And Lord, to go and win the championship and then to ultimately win the Super Bowl. Father, you know what that represents and means here to this congregation. I pray we would do it and that we would be willing. In Jesus' name.